And we are live, 9:26 Central Daylight Time. Dynasty Dad's coming at you. What's going on, Dynasty Daddy?
Hey, Dynasty Dad, Kamish, how's it going? I want to quick wish a happy early Father's Day to the other Dynasty Dads out there today. But yeah, we are staying true to our show name, Dynasty Dads After Dark, fighting to get kids down, reading stories as fast as I can. And yeah, 9:30 start time, but I'll take it.
Yep, watching the baby monitor right now and bouncing between two rooms and hoping that they let us have a decent little football conversation here. So when you said I wanted to wish you before you got to Father's Day, I thought you were going to say wish you a giant congratulations that Michael Pittman is not indefinitely suspended from all football activities. So that is my big sigh of relief for the day.
Was that some news that came out right after you made the trade or what?
Yeah. Oh, you haven't. Oh, this is great. So you haven't seen all the chatter in our Discord about this?
No, I missed it. I've been dadding.
No. Okay. So, wow. Okay. So yeah. So you saw the trade, right? So you know I have Pittman, but like less than 3 hours, maybe 4 hours after the trade goes through, somebody posts a legitimate link, to a story saying the NFL is investigating a player on the Colts for like pervasive amounts of sports betting, including betting on his team, or maybe potentially against his team, but like on Colts games. And then the tag to the tweet is something to the effect of, this player is not a star, but is a name like well known by the average NFL fan. So then it's all this speculation, right? It's like, okay, well, it's not Jonathan Taylor, it's probably not Quentin Nelson, who's a star, you know, who's not a star but is known. And so Pittman was kind of one of the names that was thrown out there. And then to top it all off, he had like this mysterious, like nagging minor injury that held him out of, you know, some practices the last couple of days. And then they just this morning signed journeyman wide receiver Breshad Perryman. So it's like, okay, they're getting wide receiver depth. So all of like the alarms are going off and Twitter's going crazy about it potentially being Pittman. And yeah, honestly, I was like already just coming to terms with the fact that I had just shipped 2 first-round picks away for a guy that will be expelled from the NFL. And so
what the news came out, it's not
the news came out tonight, and I've already blanked on who it was because I only cared that the name wasn't Pittman. I'm looking now, it looks like it's Colts cornerback Isaiah Rogers. So I hope they didn't have a little gambling circuit in the locker room, but it seems like I dodged a major bullet there. But yeah, that was quite the sweat this afternoon.
Yeah, well, and hey, if he's a starting cornerback, if anything, that might help your fantasy production out of Pittman, because if bad defense often makes for more passing. So
there we go.
There's a silver lining. But let's dig into that trade a little bit, because I don't want to be too hard on you, because I don't like when people just come out and say that I had a bad trade. But dude, I was a little surprised. Why is Pittman worth 2 firsts? Is it just because there's 2 T's in his name, or what got you so excited?
Yeah, that's the main reason. But secondarily, I'd say, a couple things. I think I'm higher on Pittman than most in our league. Unfortunately, Jeremy is kind of at my level of hype for the player. I think if he's healthy, and he wasn't healthy for all of last year, and he's had a carousel of old dying quarterbacks, but if he's healthy, and I'm making, you know, a significant bet on Anthony Richardson as it is, but if Pittman stays healthy, I think that his floor is wide receiver 2, maybe a low end wide receiver 2. And he's got a path to be a high end wide receiver 2. And I'd say, you know, in the right year with the right circumstances, he could be a back end wide receiver 1. So the top wide receivers in our league, particularly the young ones, are untouchable. There's no way I'm, you know, really going to buy a top 5, 6, 7 wide receiver, even for 3 first-round picks. So I, you know, have been thinking about where can I upgrade my team. I've been shopping, you know, some of my other players on picks, or in this case, just picks. I also loved the idea of taking like points out of Jeremy's lineup for future picks. Jeremy's not the reigning champ, and so maybe he's thinking like I can like continue to win this year while also rebuilding. But that was a factor in like with who I was trading. And then at the end of the day, I traded him what I believe to be very late first round picks. And maybe it's because I've been like on the clock here and kind of stuck in the rut at the end of the first round, like right now. And I've just not loved the talent there in what's supposed to be a really strong class. But, and so maybe that's overly biased my feeling on late first rounders right now, but knowing that I could trade a 24 and a 25 pick, the 24 is Ben's, and my thought process there, cause I have three other 24 or maybe two other 24 pick 24 firsts, was that of all the teams in our league, Ben is least likely to trade with me and want his pick back to tank because he's the defending champ and he'll do everything he can to go all in on players. Not like he's got draft capital to really give up, but he'll try to push to repeat as much as he can, more than like Brent or Dan, who I own their picks. And like, if things went pear-shaped for them, I can imagine a world where they'd be interested in trading for their pick with some of their aging studs. So I think Ben is a playoff team and could, you know, make a deep run. Obviously, if the league ends, none of this matters, but I'm banking that his pick will be late next year. And then I traded Chris's 25 first, and I think Chris has a top three kind of dynasty roster in the league. And again, I'm banking on that being a late pick. So yes, on paper, I traded two firsts, but I mean, there's a world of a difference between, you know, two late firsts and even one early first. And I'm not insulated from those picks, you know, gaining value. They certainly could, but I'm making a bet there that they're going to be late. So a bunch of those factors, but I really like Pittman. I think he's got good upside. I've got a stack. I hurt Jeremy, you know, in the near term. And I think the sticker shock of two firsts for a wide receiver that not everybody's crazy about is a little overblown given where I'm estimating those particular picks to land.
Sure. So yeah, like you said, heavy price, but it's for a position that where youth is important, which he has, and being in a role with a young quarterback and a team that's growing and your team is growing. So maybe he's going to be taking those steps right with your team and might kind of fits your mold, I guess. It's kind of what you
said. Yeah. Well, it fits the mold of where I'm trying to pivot. Like I love my running backs, but you know, obviously it was going to take Bijan when I got the one, but then I really believe in Najee, Dobbins and Javonte. Once he's healthy, it might take, you know, most of this year for Javonte to really get back on it. But I think I actually have a path for those four guys to be RB1s. And I know I get too high on my team, but like, that's not going to be something that lasts for the next 5 years. Bijan will, but the rest of the guys, they're not going to be RB1s forever. And so I know that I need to kind of try to compete now, but at the same time, I don't want to like completely have my team fall apart when those running backs age out. And I already have guys I love with DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin, but they are, you know, just lifelong underperformers, mostly due to their
circumstances. It's nice to know that somebody loves them.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's why I'm still holding them, because I'm not getting any sort of people willing to trade what I think they're worth. But to those guys' point, like they're getting older, 26 for DJ, and I think Terry's 27. So yeah, I was prioritizing youth and trying to kind of reload and reset on my wide receiver.
Yeah, and if Jeremy can, room, I mean, if he can find trading partners with those first round picks, I think he'll be happy that he moved Pittman for them. But yeah, if like you said, I think people know how dangerous that Jeremy is, so it might be tough for him to get value out of those first rounders just because he dominated. You know, it's like he was so close to winning the league right off the bat, and it might be tough for him to trade those. So you might be onto something there. Maybe we should all start trading them first round picks and then just stick them with them.
Yeah, yeah. Without spilling too much of the tea, I was close to peeling off another starter from him for fair value, and some may have, you know, said if that trade had gone through also, you know, or in combination with it, that I would have overpaid for both players. But again, same mindset was like the guy, I'm taking out another player from his starting lineup and points on the board. And so I'd love it even more if he were the reigning champ, but even still, I think he's, you know, the top team to be dealt with, or one of the maybe two or three top teams. And so I like peeling points off of his lineup and sticking them in mine.
For sure. So yeah, anyway, so yeah, good trade, good exciting trade. Good to see big names and first round picks moving. Speaking of big names, another big trade happened today. Pete and Sam ended up swapping Deebo Samuel for Kadarius Toney, the second pick in the second round this year. Sam got the fifth pick in the second round this year, and then a throw-in fifth round pick for this year as well. So Sam gets three picks, finally gets his way into the draft, and gets Kadarius Toney, another youthful receiver. I'll just keep going with it. I think I was kind of excited for for both guys. I think it's good for Pete to get another superstar in his lineup. You know, that's what Deebo is. He's a big name, a big superstar on a team that scores a lot of points. Debo's only knock is probably that he's 27, and I feel like he's getting closer to 28. Do you know off the top of your head? Off your head?
I don't off the top. I mean, I can tell you real quick, but
either
I
think, way, 27, 28, that's prime win now age for receivers, yeah, if you ask me. But Sam has got a team that's aging. So Deebo was probably one of his younger guys. This way he gets Kadarius Toney, who, what I've heard, like his storylines, like his knocks are, we think he might be dumb. That's what I've heard. That's one thing I've heard. We think he might be dumb because he struggles to figure out offenses, whether that's fair or not. I think that's the narrative. And two, he gets hurt a lot. But yes, other than that, this is like a Percy Harvin type player. I literally heard that comparison today in a podcast I think I was listening to this morning. Funny, they're both Florida Gators, but I think that's a really fair comparison with this guy's athleticism.
Wait, you're saying people compare Toney to Percy?
Yeah, in the style that the offenses want to use him.
Yeah, that's very interesting because of the two players, Deebo actually reminds me more of the Percy Harvin mold, right? Like just the gadget,
cruiser,
you know,
fast,
an athletic, excellent gadget player. Yeah, sometimes gadget is used like as a pejorative, but in this case, I'm saying like, no, you can do it all. Deebo won't turn 28 until January, so he's 27 and a half. But I think the same concerns exist with him is like maybe not that he's dumb, but he's quite injury prone and he's missed a lot of time. And you know, he's got Ayuk on the team who's younger and has finished as a wide receiver one a couple of times, and you know, they've got a little bit of uncertainty at quarterback. Will the league figure out Brock Purdy? Will Trey Lance be there and ever get a shot? Like I was very high on Deebo, tried to get him for a very pretty price last year. And I turned down an offer from Sam for Deebo before he made the trade. I think Sam wanted more than he ended up getting in the deal with Pete. And I think it was a good deal for both of them. Just interesting given their team composition where Sam is older. So I get like wanting to get younger, but Deebo definitely hurts his chances to win now. And I don't think Sam has his picks. So like losing this year isn't really what he's after. And Pete on the flip side, he has his own pick, doesn't think he's going to win at all this year. So I'm not sure how much like a win now-ish wide receiver is the right roster construction for him versus the, you know, fifth or 16th and 19th or 20th or whatever overall players in this rookie draft. So, and Toney, which maybe he's out on Toney. Like Pete told me, he's like, hey, I traded an injury prone wide receiver who's unproven for an injury prone wide receiver who is proven. And like, that makes sense. But given the team construction, it was kind of a head scratcher for me. So I'm very curious to see who Sam's after. Like you don't make that move without a guy that you want. There are a couple of like highly touted tight ends in this class that are still on the board, and Sam's room looks kind of weak. Sidebar, I was looking at his roster like earlier in the week and seeing Robert Tonyan stashed there on the bottom of his bench, like that year one where he had Rodgers, Devontae, and Tonyan stacked and was just like highest scoring team every other week. And Tonyan, I think I saw he finished the league in our scoring at least like as the fourth or third overall tight end. And since then, he's not been even like a tight end two. It's top 24 or whatever. So like he's obviously just completely fallen off. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sam's trying to get a tight end in one of those picks that he just grabbed, maybe both, who knows, but very curious to see what he's trying to do with that move.
Yep, I'm with you. Yeah, it looks like Tanyan finished as tight end 10 twice last year. Oh, and tight end 6. So, but other than that, he was nowhere near. He was nowhere, hardly, not even tight end 2. So,
No, I was talking about like overall, like season finishes too. Like he just has, you know, completely disappeared after that 1 year. So,
yeah, and he's in Chicago now, it looks like. Is that right?
Oh, I haven't paid attention to that. speaking of tight ends moving, Canute, I got to put you on blast here because I think Canute is one of the most well-studied, well-read governors that we have in our league. He's talking to me when I'm on the clock, maybe before I was on the clock, but we were waiting for Mark, and he's talking about who I might go for. And he was saying how, you know, he likes, you know, he was talking some highs and lows of some of the different players available, including some of the tight ends. And he says something to the effect of, you know, Michael Mayer's got, you know, some of the best athleticism that we've seen at the position for, you know, a long time, but his situation's terrible. He's going to be blocked there for another couple of years. And I messaged him back and I was like, dude, you know that Waller's not on the team anymore. He's in New York. And he writes back like, LOL, what? And it was just like, it was such a surprise to me because I don't think this was like a recent thing. I feel like it was done before the NFL draft. And I certainly don't follow every happening in the NFL, but I knew that Darren Waller wasn't there when Mayer got drafted to the Raiders. And so he wasn't aware of that. And I think had he known that, he may have drafted differently at 111. So,
oh no.
And now, you know, and he since learning that, he's not had a pick, and he's sitting here with about, you know, 6 or 7 second rounders and just sweating. Will I get a chance at Mayer here? So, anyways, it's an interesting learning experience for Canute here. Sorry, man.
That's funny. Yeah, no, and it happens. Obviously, there's so much activity in the offseason, you can't catch it all. Sometimes it slips by you or you forget or whatever. But yeah, that's a bummer. Hopefully it didn't affect his draft. Hopefully he got the guys he wanted. But anyway, yeah. So in the end, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I liked all your points. Like you said, I can see how you'd be scratching your head at that trade from Pete and Sam. But we'll see. I know the reason we knocked Sam's, the only reason Sam's team ever gets knocked is because of age. So if he can hit on a couple draft picks, even one of those 2 second rounders that he got, and if Kadarius Toney can be a part of that offense, I mean, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't name a better offense that you'd want a star player in. So hopefully it works out for both of them. Hopefully Debo stays healthy and they get what they want. But anyway, man, should we get back to some draft talk?
Yeah, I thought it makes sense to. I mean, the guys, we did the first 3 picks on the air. The guys recapped 4 through 9. I think that you were 13 out of 14 in terms of players selected. I think you nailed the first 7 in order. And there was maybe only one guy that was selected in the first round that you didn't have getting drafted in the first round overall. And you'll have to tell me who that was.
Yeah, and this was before I knew that your daughter was in love with Jonathan Mingo. I had you picking him at 10. And I, for a second there, I thought, oh, maybe he'll take Kincaid there. But of course, things kind of got a little messy when a few trades happened on the back end. So that was why I started missing spots that players were going. But the only player I missed was, your pick there at 10. You picked Will Levis instead of Jonathan Mingo. Jonathan Mingo still being available in the second round. And I like that pick by you a lot. I would, you know, just because, because you got, I guess, and you kind of needed that quarterback anyway, we're not kind of unknown about Levis, but I like that pick. Again, in this league, a quarterback that has a real chance to start is worth a first round pick. So I like that pick a lot, even though I didn't have him in there in the first round. I thought that was a good choice.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't love the pick, but I kind of had to do it. I've not made it, you know, it's no secret. I really wanted Dalton Kincaid, and I felt confident that the folks in line before me were not going to be drafting a tight end. So I didn't feel like I needed to trade up. So when Mark jumped in there, it definitely had me sweating. And he, as much as I like Kincaid, I feel like he overpaid. The guys talked about it already, but like, I guess if Kincaid's the next Travis Kelce, you can't overpay enough. But He paid quite a steep price for a rookie tight end. That said, that was my plan. And obviously I had a pivot plan if he were to not be there when I was on the clock at 10. And the primary reason I took as long as I did on the clock is because Achane was my next guy. But all Dalvin of the news, Dalvin of Cook news swirling really had me on edge. And I know a few folks throughout like, well, are you really worried about Dalvin in the short term? Like, this is a dynasty player, dynasty, you know, draft. Like, you got to be thinking long term. But like, my thought on running backs is, you know, you're going to build around running backs, obviously, when you're ready to compete. Obviously, I have maybe too many running backs as it is already. So he was my best player available. But like, to add in another running back right now and then know that I maybe couldn't count on him for production for the next couple of years was definitely a deterrent. So it was between Achane and Flowers for me. And then after I moved off Achane and I'm like staring down Flowers, I'm like, I like Flowers and Mingo really, really close. I may even pick, you know, Mingo ahead of Flowers in you know, 50% of my drafts. And so knowing that there were guys that I liked at wide receiver, but there was not another quarterback that I, you know, like and think I had a chance at my only other, you know, second round pick, which is the one I'm on the clock now at 201. I just felt like from a positional standpoint and a tier-based drafting, Levis had to be the pick. And he could suck, but like you said, he's now alongside Richardson, who I picked at 102. Like, he's only the third quarterback I have on roster total. And between injuries and bye week fillers, like, I'd love it if he just became a serviceable, like, 16-point per game quarterback fill-in that I can plug into my super flex if I need to. But as we talked about on the last draft, like, in the Tua and Burrow class, everybody overlooked Justin Herbert and he slipped. And so there's obviously the upside. And if Levis hits, and, you know, we got to remember, there's a reason that he wasn't drafted top 10, but there is also a reason that he was scouted and projected to be top 5. And so he's got at least some of the tangible traits, whether he's able to actually translate that to the field, and attitude and other, you know, leadership characteristics aren't an issue at the next level. I think it's a gamble worth paying. And knowing that I always kind of felt like I was at the beginning of a tier anyways, and not wanting to reach for a positional player, like, ultimately I can live like swinging and missing on a quarterback because the upside there is so huge.
Yeah. So you said like Mark kind of jumped up and stole your guy Kincaid. I don't like to bash Mark at all because he's won more championships than I've ever smelled. I don't know why. I agree with you. I was a little confused why he jumped up for that tight end. And then he also made the risky pick of taking Achane at 14, which, again, I know he waited as long as he possibly could and tried to get extra time. But,
yep.
So I guess I get it, but I could see this being a really rough draft for a guy who's trying to win right now, not having a first round pick. And he's got, if let's say Dalvin goes to Miami, now Achane is basically nothing. That's a wasted pick. Rookie tight ends, as we know, in Kyle Pitts, who is a can't miss guy who we keep, you know, the last 2 years now that he will break out. He's been everybody's breakout candidate. So I still expect Pitts to hit, but he hasn't really hit yet, as, you know, like we thought he would as a rookie. And most rookies don't. Even Pat Freiermuth, who had a great
year. Well, hold on. Pitts did hit. Pitts hit. He had a 1,000-yard rookie season, which is like the first or second time to ever happen for a tight end. The problem is he's got a 25% target share. His piece of the pie is huge, right? But the total pie is not there. They throw the ball like 20 times a game. So
I agree with you. Pitts,
that's not going to change.
Sorry. Pitts did hit for a fantasy tight end. I just don't think
returned the value that he's been like talked up to be so far.
Yes, that's my point. So obviously these tight ends aren't ranked as high as Pitts has, but
right.
Pitts has only hit for a good tight end. Yes, he's a good tight end. Of course, I would have taken him last year. He was a great tight end to have. I just mean young tight ends. Tight ends take a while to be good. And so in Mark's situation, I just think that that's not a good player to take. Is that's all I mean by it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting move. He basically traded an extra first and an extra second because they swapped firsts and seconds and so like moved around in future years and stuff, but he traded two firsts and 2 seconds for one first and 1 second. So it's interesting. He's kind of mortgaging his future. He doesn't already own his own pick, so he can't tank, but now he's selling the extra stuff for a rookie tight end who may not produce a ton right away, a running back who could, you know, be, you know, sent to the bench if they bring in Dalvin, and yeah, I guess he's now got a couple of things coming up in the second round. I feel like he's still got some picks. I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but
I do, yeah. And I thought he did, but I don't see him at all in the second round until the last pick of the second round. So no, he doesn't have much for a while, but. As Knut's brother said, we give Mark too much airtime, so we should probably move on.
Oh yeah, you know what? He had traded 2-2 and 2-5 to Peter for it, the A-chain pick, and then Peter since traded those picks to Sam. So that's why I was thinking he was coming up right behind me. But yeah, anyways, for what it's worth, I thought long and hard on A-chain at 10. Had he been here while I was on the clock at 201, I still would have waited this long to see what kind of news came out, but probably would have swung the bat on him as well. I had him as, you know, my third overall running back in the class. And again, just kind of drooling at the upside if McDaniel uses him like you think he might want to. So again, that's more of value based on like the upside of the player, where again, I'd be okay swinging and missing. I don't want my whole class to be that way, but given the certainty of Bijan and really the floor that Richardson will give with his legs, I felt like I could afford to do that at this point in the draft, not at 10, but at 201. So Mark's not making me sweat that one by grabbing him there.
Yeah, and that's kind of the blessing and the curse of having multiple picks is you can take those risks, but at times it's like, well, maybe you should have just taken the safe pick, and if you only had one pick, you probably would have gone the safe route. But you know, that's fantasy football, I guess.
Yeah. Like I think for Canute to grab Flowers at 11, maybe, like I said, maybe you drafted differently with some Michael Mayer intel, but Flowers was kind of a consensus like last player in the tier there after some of those other guys went. And so it's like, okay, you just take the best player on the board and you hope it pans out. And in some years, that's Jalen Waddle. And in other years, it's Denzel Mims or whoever. So you just got to, you can at least live with it because you know that you didn't reach and you kind of followed the board. And when your board mirrors the consensus, then it's just that much easier to stomach the loss if it happens.
Sure. All right. Well, let's see. Do you want to start getting into the second round a little bit, chatting about who's coming up and what we can expect?
Yeah, I feel like this is the round of Knut, even if he has maybe already traded some picks. So
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, he's I think he's only down to about half of the second round now.
So it's kind of hard to predict like who will go because I don't know like if he's at a position to target if he's trying to target certain positions or if he's truly going to take best player available at every spot. He can kind of game it by knowing who's between him and where they might draft and like let other guys fall and reach. So it'll be very interesting to see how he plays this out. I know that he's gotten his roster to a position where he doesn't have to dump picks and trade out for future things at this point. He can roster everybody that he's got at least on board for the second and I think even third round. So
he's got six picks coming up in the second round. He's already taken two in the first. So that's a total of eight players that he needs to roster. And then third round, it looks like he only has zero. Zero.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see any in the third round for him. Fourth round, he's got the first three in the fourth round.
Yeah, he's certainly loaded up. So it'll be very interesting.
The first four, he's got the first four.
Of which?
The first four in the fourth round. So he's actually okay. The fourth round guy now. Not
yeah, anymore. I think he'd even excluded those from his I can roster all my picks discussion. So I'm not sure what's going to happen when we get there. But okay. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Obviously I'm holding things up here at 201. I've got to make my pick. I think, let me check the official draft clock here at nearly 10 o'clock
I
Central. I've
got
got 10
10
hours.
hours, 5
So I got to
minutes.
make my pick before 8 a.m. And I plan on it. I have a couple feelers out there, and I've been trying to package, and I've got an option to move back, and I've got an option to well, potentially options to package it with some other picks or players and kind of tier up. So
All right. Well, since this podcast won't come out until after your trade is made or pick is made, are you willing to kind of say who you like at that spot if you are stuck with the pick?
yeah, Mingo's the guy. Like I said, he was in that consideration set at 10, when I was eyeing down Flowers. I really like him. I think he's a typically, NFL size wide receiver. They don't in Carolina, like maybe Adam Thielen will have some, decent games this year, but like they don't have like a true alpha. I think if Bryce Young is the number one overall quarterback that the Panthers want him to be, he's going to need a big downfield target, and like they could make some magic. So I think he's a good prospect with some decent upside. And yeah, I like what I've seen. And I think that the gap between Mingo and the next best wide receiver is quite a bit. So I think he's my player there. And again, if I don't trade out, like the other considerations I have are tight end. And while I like a couple of guys, my general feeling is that I'd be reaching to grab a tight end at 201 over Mingo. And that if I'm truly desperate, because like right now my tight end room is looking kind of weak. Really was banking on Kincaid. I traded away Evan Ingram in to get up to Bijan. And so I've got Dawson Knox, who's obviously at least somewhat hurt by Kincaid. I'm sure I've got Zach Ertz coming off of injury, and he's like 32 years old. So like my tight end room is weak. I'm tempted to reach for a young tight end here, but again, knowing tight end production in the first year, like I just am banking that Mingo is going to have more trade value if I really need to pivot off of a player and trade for a tight end, young or vet, mid-season. So try not to solve for my week one roster here in June and stick to my plan and draft for value and trade for need. So I think that Mingo's the guy, and maybe yeah, by the time this is airing, he's already on my team. Plus, McKenzie will be psyched. So
Yeah, that's awesome.
it helps that the kid's excited about it.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that's the right pick. I don't think you're persuaded in the wrong direction at all. It's the right pick. It's the only player I had and projected to go in the first round that's still available. So to have him be the very next pick and the first pick in the second round, I think makes sense. And just like you said, the only other option I in my mind would be Michael Mayer. So yeah, I think you're right on pace there. And because Mingo, yeah, I think there's a huge tier drop there. It's a bunch of dart throws after that. And I think, even Mingo, all just like any other rookie that he really wasn't talked about at all pre-draft. And then all of a sudden the Panthers came out and grabbed this guy and he hit everybody's radar. So nobody's draft stock went up higher than his, I don't think, post-draft
Yeah,
in the fantasy world.
I think his certainly got a big bump based on his draft capital. I think a name that I'm just completely cold on, but I've heard a couple other guys in our league are after as they've tried to trade up is Rashee Rice, and I imagine he'll go somewhere in the second. But man, I'm so down on Chiefs wide receivers. Like, as long as Patrick Kelsey's there, or Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball to Travis Kelsey, Tony could do something, right? But like, we've got Sky Moore, we've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, we've got, I'm sure there's, a couple other gadgety all look the same, but like we've had the same types of guys other than Tyreek. And nobody's really ever done anything. They've all had varying degrees of speed, and I actually don't really know much about Rice the prospect, like what type of wide receiver he is, but I'm just like kind of off on Kansas City wideout. So I'm sure he'll go soon, and curious if you got a perspective on where he may go in the second. But he was another guy that probably got a big bump based on his landing spot. But yeah, I think that most people agree that Mingo's maybe the last of a tier here.
Yep. Yeah. I'm right there with you with Rice. I think, yeah, those chief receivers are so hard to judge because, like you said, there's Sky Moore there. There's Tony is there. Is
Who's
Juju
the guy
still
that?
there?
Who?
Juju Smith?
No, Juju got traded to. Oh man, not the Giants. I could tell you. Who's the guy on the Chiefs that Brent had for? Oh, Juju's on the Patriots.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
that other? Yeah, Brent drafted him in the first round. He's like super fast.
Is he on board's roster?
I was just looking. I'm not even seeing. I mean, I'm looking at the Chiefs depth chart. I'm seeing MVS, Justin Watson, John Ross, Richie James, former golfer, Amir Smith-Marset. Like, so I'm not even seeing the name I was thinking of. But anyways, I know Bort drafted the dude in like the mid first. So they've just had a bunch of misses. And I'm not wanting to reach even in the second round for a Chiefs wideout. So anyway, so let's say I go Mingo at a one here. If I keep the pick, that's where I'm going. Then we got Sam. You feel like Sam traded up for a tight end or a position player? Is he gonna try to get younger at QB with old Aaron Rodgers?
I don't see. I figured it was either a running back that he likes just because he's got Christian McCaffrey, who's the best in the game, but as we all know, injury prone, and he's getting up there in age, can only play that position for so long at that level at that age. So I was thinking maybe there's a running back that he really likes. And I, knowing Sam as well as I do, I know he's done some studying and he's got probably his guy that he likes, whether that's Rashawn Johnson or, you know, maybe somebody else. But I also, the way I know Sam is he loves his Packers, and I really hope he's not reaching for Jaden Reed that far ahead. He's also got the fifth. He's got the fifth pick in the second round, and I could see him stretching and grabbing Jaden Reed there, which wouldn't be terrible. But kind of like the Chiefs, they've got a bunch of guys that are, you know, just, you know, a bunch of mid-tier guys that, and now they don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. So I'm hoping he doesn't do that. But like you said, the name that keeps coming up, and I think it's the best pick after Mingo, is Mayer in the second round. Whoever gets him, I think that's the next best player that's still available as far as projections have gone. But the name, yeah, the Rashawn Johnson is another name that I think is up there. And Sam knows the NFC North just as good as anybody else. And I think he could be looking at him too. I could see that happening.
Yeah. I think Roshan's the kind of clear next best available running back. It's a little murky in Chicago right now. And really Justin Fields is their top runner. But I think that he's the next of the best of the next. I'd be willing to push all my chips in that with five, if Sam keeps 205, that it's a Packer. Whether it's, is it Jaden Reed? Is that what you said his name is? It's Jaden Reed or if it's Musgrave or whoever their other tight end is. If he goes Mayer at two, then he'd probably not take a Packer tight end at five. But my guess is that he's taking a Packer at five. So and it wouldn't be a terrible reach. Like, I think that some of those guys are mocked in that range. It feels like a bit of a reach on Jaden Reed based on where I've seen him go.
Yep, but it would be an appropriate reach. It'd be a couple picks ahead, which is, you know, when you're at five, you that's kind of what you do. You know, in the second round, you can reach, you know, in quotes, six or seven picks if it's your guy, because you're not going to get another pick in seven picks, you know, so that guy's going to be gone. So if you like him, go take him. Like, I'm not going to knock Sam for taking, I won't knock him for taking Reed at five. I will knock him for taking him at two.
Yeah. I mean, listen to his quarterback scenario though. He's got 39-year-old Rodgers, who I think is on a 2-year deal with the Jets, right? I mean, either way, he's done in the next year or two. And he's got Matt Stafford, who could retire mid-season. He's super injured. The Rams are falling apart. He's obviously, you know, planning to play this year, but he's 35 and like could be done in the next 2 years. Neither of those guys could be in the league, let alone be productive. Rodgers last year, he finished the season as, why don't I have this on my thing, as the QB 13. So not terrible, but not what you've expected from Rodgers when he was QB 2 and QB 6 the previous 2 years. And then on his bench, he's got Marcus Mariota, who's now lost his job to Desmond Ridder. And you got Matt Ryan and Drew Lock. Ryan's not in the league, and I think Drew Lock is backing up Geno Smith still. So, like, I can see a world where at 5, if he's not trading up to 2 to do it, he goes and gets Hendon Hooker, who I think is kind of the consensus next best quarterback, was rumored to have potentially gone first round in the NFL draft, and he didn't. But, you know, Jared Goff, sorry, you know, to your Jared Goff stocks, but he's not guaranteed a future in Detroit beyond this year. And it'd be interesting to see if they moved on and gave Hendon Hooker a chance. So somebody's going to draft Hendon Hooker in the second round. Sam seems to have a need, or at least should be thinking about that need. Obviously Canute can't say no to a QB either. And with all these picks, if he, you know, if he has a chance to draft him, it wouldn't shock me that Hooker ends up on Canute's team, but we can say that about everybody we're about to talk about for the second round.
Yep. And that's fine. I think you're right. I think somebody will do it. My personal preference, and maybe it's because I drafted Kellen Mond, the pick before Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's not worth, it's not worth taking those guys that like a couple analysts are high on and nobody else is. And it's actually, it's the same guy that I've seen. Chris Sims is pumped about Hendon Hooker, and I'm sure there are others, but Sims was the guy who was saying that Mond was better than, he was the number 2 quarterback in the class and, you know, higher than all these guys. And I was like, ooh, yeah, cool. And he's on the Vikings. Like, I can't miss. And now, yeah, I'll be dropping him once this draft is completed. But I think it's a wasted pick to take Hooker. Obviously, I have a little bias with Goff, but it's not as much. I don't think it's my bias as much as it's been my research and everything. A lot of coach speak, if I'm sure, but they like Goff there. And in this league, guys like Daniel Jones, as you know, get paid way too much money to stick around if they're doing an adequate job. So I don't think Goff goes anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel, yeah, you're right. Quarterback is different in that way. I just very surprised at the Lions letting Jamal Williams go after the year he had last year. And knowing from Hard Knocks that he was like a total culture leader. Like, I think he was a captain of the team, but like, regardless, huge, like emotional leader and like monster productive season. And they let him walk for, you know, they weren't willing to match a pretty reasonable.
But like you said, quarterback's different. Goff, and in my case, I'm not worried about Goff at all. If the Lions did let him walk, I know he would be on another roster. He's a good
quarterback. He's not going to be out of the league next year.
I'm not worried about Goff at all. But as far as the draft goes, Hendon Hooker, and it's just my opinion. I think that's why Hooker is where he is right now, is because there's people who are saying he could have a starting job, and then there's people who are saying exactly what I'm saying, and that's don't touch him. He's a wasted pick. He will only play if they're because of another quarterback's injury.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, let's do this. Since Canute has so many picks, Sam's got 2, and then Canute, Sam is sandwiching Canute at 2 and 5. Canute's in there at 3 and 4. And then Canute picks back up again at what looks like 8, 9, and 12 and 13. So really, the only other people that have picks in this round are Matt, and he's got 2 at 2-6 and 2-10. So maybe we speculate, like, and then Dan Pastrall is in there at 2-7, and Mark closed out the round. So, like, between Matt and Texas Dan, like, who do you think those guys might be eyeing from a positional need standpoint? Because Canute, again, will probably take a whole lot of best player available here.
Yeah, so right now, Matt has drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, which was a great pick. I think it was an easy pick for where he was and who was available.
Yes.
So he's got Jahmyr Gibbs, and he filled a big hole in his team. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'd be very interested to hear some of the offers that he got, because we know he was inundated by everybody. For sure. Know I swung a pretty big bat to go up and get it, but he was a very easy pick should he have kept the pick. But I'd be curious what he said no to in order to roster Gibbs, and like how much he now has to live up to and pay off this hype in order for it to be worth Matt holding on to that pick. But yeah, I agree that it was no brainer. The fact that he was there at 6 to take him. I think you had mocked him at 3 previously. So
yeah, I liked Gibbs a lot too. And I just knew I didn't have the P. I, I swung a little bat at again trying to get him, but I knew I didn't have the pieces to get up that high. But looking at Matt's roster, he's set at quarterback as far as you know, with the unknowns about Jordan Love. Obviously, Justin Fields has his downside with it, with his arm, but in fantasy football, that guy is basically a running back who gets a few extra points for throwing every once in a while. And now he's got Jahmyr Gibbs to fill that running back slot. And then he's got Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then he's hoping on Jameson Williams. So I think he takes best player available, because again, in this league, like we talked about when you had Ben on, when you guys had your draft podcast, you know, there's so many flex spots. You want the best player available to put in one of those spots. So he's taking, you know, it's best player available as far as wide receiver running back goes. I wouldn't want to see him take tight end, since he got a nice prize out of that young guy in Tennessee. I don't even want to try to pronounce his name.
Chig.
yeah, let's go with
well,
that.
Well, here's the thing though. What if the best player available is on the Lions, whether it's Hendon Hooker or if it's Sam Laporta, the tight end there that's going to replace Hawkinson? Like it'd be funny, but like, it's almost beyond joking matter now that he's got, you know, the two wide receivers in St. Brown and Williams and Gibbs. That's like, do you really want a quarterback or a tight end on that offense? Even if it's a great offense, you know, they're probably not going to be, you know, the Rams circa 2019 or 20 or whatever. So, yeah, be interesting.
No, funny to think about, but no, he won't. Like I just said, those are the two positions he doesn't need to try to fill. He'll go wide receiver or running back, which, again, I think we could probably say that all the way down the line in this draft. At least, again, like I but, will, because
well, Chig, I'm not, I mean, a hooker Chig, guy. Chig is like a fantasy podcast, like analyst. Everybody's like late round guy. Like, I think part of it, honestly, is like, it's just fun to say that nickname because nobody knows how to say his name. But like, at the end of the day, and like, he's a big like athletic freak, but I don't know, like, is he such a sure thing that you wouldn't want another tight end on your roster in a class where they say like there are five or six guys in the second round right now that could really reset the tight end landscape in the league? Like, I can see almost anybody in our league grabbing a tight end, viewing them as best player available. Like, nobody. Well, I think Dan right now with Kelsey and Goddard has, you know, clearly the best tight end room. He's got young and old there and productive both, you know, this year. But beyond that, like, I think everybody could afford to have another good tight end on their team.
Yeah, well, Matt also has his pick, his number six in the third round as well. I'm hoping I wouldn't expect him to take a tight end in the second round.
I don't think I missed he should. That he. I missed he's got Daniel Bellinger too, and he had a nice rookie year. So maybe Bellinger's more of his
tight end one. He got jacked over the summer. Did you see him?
No, I'm not surprised. Or I'm not one arm subscribed looks like to Daniel Bellinger's Instagram. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it came up on my Instagram like three times a day, and it must be reading my eyes, just being glued to that picture, so it keeps showing it to me more and more. I just love arms. But anyway, so Knut, he's got three and four. He's going to go best player available. I mean, it's the second round. It's fun to talk about because I like the players here. But, I mean, Jalen Hyatt is there. Kind of another receiver that we haven't talked about, but he's in that same conversation as Rashee Rice or Jaden Reed. They're dart throw guys. You know, they're on rosters that have kind of struggled to produce that position.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hyatt's definitely that boom bust player. If you watched the game against Alabama last year, where Tennessee won at the wire, like, I think the dude had, you know, 300 yards and four touchdowns or something ludicrous. He's definitely got huge upside, and he's playing with Danny Dimes, so we know that he can be a true alpha wide receiver one. But yeah, I think that there are obviously some real risks and concerns about him not being NFL ready and still kind of a raw player, and maybe relies more on his athleticism than some of his, you know, skill stuff. So yeah, I think again, he's clearly got enough upside to warrant a second round pick. We'll be curious to see where he goes.
Over or under three more trades in the second round involving second round picks?
I'll go under three. I mean, so under now I'm saying only two or less. I mean, I don't see Sam trading out of the picks he just got unless he gets an overwhelming offer for 205. So he's probably standing pat there. Canute, like, he certainly could, but I'm not sure he wants to. I don't think he wants to trade back. So it's like, if, and he doesn't need to now trade out from a roster standpoint. So unless somebody was like willing to give him a, what he perceives as a higher first next year for like two of his later firsts.
Matt could trade out. I could see Matt trading one of those 2 second rounders for stuff next year or for a player. I think somebody in the last podcast mentioned how Matt's really good at getting value out of trades. And I could see him, he's, you know, he's got Jahmyr Gibbs. That was an exciting pick. He might be content with that and getting out of there for more value.
I gotta say, the boys called out that like Matt was super patient on Jordan Love. I love you, Matt, but Matt's been patient on all his players. He's the owner that finishes the league with $100 in fab budget and doesn't make a trade. Like, he just sits on his roster, and part of that's because he hates the sleeper app. But like, let's not say that this was like this giant strategic move to sit and hold Jordan Love this whole time. He doesn't do a whole lot with his team. So I'm glad that it's finally opened up and Rodgers is out of the NFC North. But I was chuckling at that accommodation or that accolade there.
Fair enough. But yeah, because yeah, I think if anybody, whenever Matt actually responds to like a verbal trade offer or a written trade offer, I suppose, like in Sleeper or somewhere, people just get so excited that they got him on the line. They're like, I got to take the trade. I have to take it. I've got him on the line.
I've got to lose on value here just so I can get something done with this guy.
Yeah, because I want this guy who's been, sitting on the roster forever. But
anyway. Well, yeah, that's a good point. So he very well could trade out if the value is right and he doesn't feel like there's a need this year. So anyways, I'll take the under, but there'd been some fun movement early so far.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll see. What are we at? We're probably about an hour of recording here. Is there anything else you wanted to cover before we shut her down?
Yeah. I mean, are there any guys, I think, did you say you've got, you've got a pick. I missed your name.
Yeah, I've got one pick and there's one guy, a couple guys I'm hoping, could fall. It's all the way back at 11. So it's kind of tough for me to, that's the only reason I can mention like Rashawn Johnson. It's a guy I like that I could see being a player in this league, but I know won't fall to me. Jaden Reed, again, same thing. I'm not going to trade up for him, but I see the possibility, but I feel like we do this all the time with whatever little price the Packers pay for their receiver in the draft. Then there's a couple running backs. I was looking back, just that, like last year, like, there were like 9 rookie running backs that were not, I don't think, on, people's radar for good running backs that all made a splash this year. And then the question is, are those guys going to make a splash this coming year? It's like White in Tampa Bay or Pacheco in Kansas City. There's more. Jalen Warren in Pittsburgh. Made a little bit of noise, like enough where it's like these guys, like there's guys that are on the board that will make a splash this year, whether it's because of an injury ahead of them or two injuries ahead of them, or, just a deep ride into the playoffs or whatever. Like, there's still value out here. And I think it's heavily in the running back position, despite what our league values, which is receivers. I think running back is, I don't want to spill too much because I'm hoping some of these running backs fall to me at 11, but that's what I see. And I think people are at the end of the day, going to take best player available. But I think that's where, and we know that that's when rookies, there's no position that's better for a rookie than running back.
Yeah. Certainly in terms of, immediate impact and trade value. So yeah, I don't want you to have to spill the beans, but I see Tank Bigsby, typically mocked in the mid to late second. And as an ETN owner, I'd expect that he's at least got to be on your mind, whether or not you'd want to think about that handcuff or owning that whole backfield. But I think there's, some decent talent there. And I'm real curious too, if, if we see Dwayne McBride get drafted in the second. He's typically not a second round pick, but
here we are in Minnesota.
So here we are with a bunch of Vikes fans who might tilt, you know, when Dalvin gets cut or traded. And, you know, now all of a sudden the path behind Madison is very much open. And like, I've kind of joked, but I am going to hold Ty Chandler unless somebody really wants him. Because again, there's at least a path to playing time there. And again, with running back too, like the upside is you're one tackle away, you know, in the most violent sport of, you know, a big time legitimate role. So if Cook's gone and Madison goes down, all of a sudden Dwayne McBride or Ty Chandler is the, you know, the workhorse running back on a top, to be, you know, pessimistic, like top 10 offense in the NFL. And so it'd be interesting to see if we have any homerism that slants him and where he's typically drafted in the third to slide up into the second round. So that's one player I'm interested to see where he lands, as well as some of those Packer tight ends, to see where they go. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the second round shakes out, particularly what Canute's team looks like when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. Say, we got the full second round ahead of us. Lots of trade talk, I'm sure, will be happening. Great time of year. Fun to be in fantasy football, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I got to imagine that the second round might go a little bit faster than the first. I've been
the
biggest defender of slowing things down. I mean, Mark took his time, understandably, waiting for some A-chain news, but
yeah, of course.
I was on the clock for over 20 hours with 10 and probably approaching that here with 201. But I bet you that we move pretty quickly here through the second round. But even, you know, it's all said and done. I mean, we started on the first, so tonight is June 5th, so we're a little bit more than 5 days in here, but I bet you in a week or two we're close to being wrapped up with this thing. So maybe a week. What do you think?
Good question. Yeah, I'd say a week at least. I bet it's over a week. We'll see.
All right. Well, Eli, it's always fun to chat. Little fail with you. I'm glad we could hop on and both our kids stayed sleeping. So that's definitely a win for tonight.
Yeah. I hope it was interesting. Maybe I'll send this around, try to get one of my family members not in the league to start listening.
Yes. Yeah. We're that perfect ignore us while you work out type conversation I hear. So love Phil Bookie. Wish I were at that ribbon cutting for the bike path. Instead, I will just take one more big sigh of relief and count my lucky stars that Michael Pittman was not gambling on Colts games. So,
yeah. Hey, and maybe when this draft is all said and done, maybe we should do a mega cast and the two of us can join with whoever else wants to join too. But we'll try to for sure get the Bort and Bach experience with Canute. And I know Ben has jumped on a few times, so that'd be fun to just get a bunch of us and try to not talk over each other the whole time, but it could be interesting. It'd be fun.
Yes. The multiverse. I love it. Let's do that. Also just bat signal out to other dynasty dads in our group. We'll try to be loyal to the brand and keep it mostly to dads on our pod. But if you want,
yeah, you got to put in the work to get here. Yeah.
Yeah. Or exactly. So, the invite's open all the time and I'd love to expand the conversation. So,
all right.
Fun as always.
Baby emoji if you made it this far.
Yeah, drop that baby emoji. Is there a good baby emoji?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like a smiley face with a bonnet and a.
Or you could do two gay dads or something like that. I don't know. Something around revolving around family.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Dads holding hands.
Yeah. Family emoji.
All right. Sounds good, brother.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Wrap this up. Yep. Later. Bye, all.